Hello, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Well, one thing we're up to, and we'll soon see if it's something we're up for, at least in Eau Claire County, is the Confluence, that exciting proposition that partners the university, city, county, and private investment for the purpose of erecting a complex on the south side of the T at which the Eau Claire River flows into the Chippewa in downtown Eau Claire. A development to include a performing arts center and then across a riverside public space, a mixed-use building combining university housing and commercial ventures, privately owned. The embryo, the whole idea, was conceived as long as 6 years ago when a Clear Vision civic engagement study intimated that people are in favor of Eau Claire getting a new event facility in the city. The concept grew gradually until 2012, when a specific project was announced by a consortium of several area interests, private and public. One accusation that simply cannot be leveled is that it hasn't been scrutinized and digested long enough. It has. Diligence has met its due. And yet, as one might expect in a proposal this significant, you can't please all the people all the time. The result of that discontent leads us all to the voting booth next Tuesday, April 1st. Spectrum West, a program that spotlights the arts, music, and culture of our Western Wisconsin territory, has, as you might expect, followed the issue ever since we hosted and broadcast a couple early public forums in which people from all walks of life verbalized their vision. Rich Kramer, host of the West Side, was kind enough to agree to spend time with representatives of a group that calls itself Voters with Facts. The session was recorded earlier this week.
I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm in studio with members of the group Voters with Facts. And first, I'd like to introduce Dave Wood. He's the spokesman for the group. Dave, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us, Rich. We really appreciate it. Now, Voters with Facts is a volunteer group that is dedicated to informing our city and county residents about the Confluence Project and also about our city's finances. Our goal is quite simple. We wish to fully vet this project. It's our opinion that a certain quantity of facts gets out there, but the full story, unfortunately, oftentimes hasn't fully gotten out there. And that's our goal. You can learn more about our organization. We've got actually a wealth of information on our website called www.confluencereferendum.com is its website. We have many concerns about the confluence, but our three major ones, which we'd like to focus on today, are first and foremost, number one, the potential it has to hurt our local theater groups. Rent and ticket prices will go up. There's no doubt about that. And we feel that many times the limit of what you can charge for these tickets for families has already been hit. There's also the concern that this theater venue, how are our local groups going to compete with out-of-city and out-of-state groups that are going to be actually bankrolling this expensive venture too? Will they be able to compete for stage space? There's a $200,000 backstop that the city's supposed to support, and that's supposed to come from our already overspent hotel room tax fund. In fact, this year in 2014, it's projected to be in arrears by over $50,000. So where's that money going to come from? And that same budget supports a lot of our theater groups. ECRAC currently gets $95,000. I've heard figures that they expect to get another $66,000 out of this going forward if the project goes forward. Well, where's that money going to come from? What will happen to the financing of these local groups? Our second major concern is that theaters are proven money losers, and we need to look no further than over in Appleton, which is a beautiful privately funded theater that requires millions in philanthropic donations just to balance its sheets annually. Our third major concern is that the Confluence will definitely raise your property taxes. And we've always found it interesting that the pro-Confluence groups from the very start, emphatically said that, no, your property taxes won't increase. But now even they admit that property taxes will go up. And our estimates are that a $150,000 home, and these are numbers calculated by one of our spokespersons who I'll be introducing here momentarily, who is a CPA and serves on city council, although he volunteers with us as a private citizen, that it will raise taxes $38 for the city. And for county residents, it'll be some increment of that, obviously minus the city portion. These are reasons that we say that for the county referendum, we encourage you to vote no. We don't want to pay. And for the city referendum, we encourage you to vote yes. I want to say. And one point we want to definitely bring up, too, right out of the chute in this introduction, is that school referendums, by law in the state of Wisconsin, if they exceed $1 million, they require a referendum. We have some of the best schools in the state in Eau Claire, and our state has some of the best schools in the country. If asking the people to vote on referendums that exceed $1 million is so wrong, which is what the pro-confluence people say, then why do we have such good schools? It's our view that the people will step forward. They will support things that make sense. If this project makes sense, they'll vote for it and they'll support it. I'll introduce our other spokespersons who are here today. Bob Von Hayden, I've already mentioned, is here as a private citizen, but he also serves on the city council. He is a retired CPA. And we're very fortunate also to have Mary Jo Cohen, who's been a long-term Eau Claire resident. She brings great leadership skills and lots of financial acumen herself, too. And Mary Jo's going to introduce a bit about the dynamics of our organization.
We have some people would say, bizarre organization. We are grassroots, and we cross the entire political spectrum, all the way from the environmental leftists. We even have an Occupy Wall Streeter in our group. To the far Christian right and everything in between, which would include history buffs, libertarians, fiscal conservatives, you name it, we've got it. Sometimes we're pretty dysfunctional, but surprisingly, we really get along because we have one issue at heart, and that's this confluence project. We are very concerned about our city. We are looking for sustainable solutions and ways to preserve our heritage wherever we can. We love our city. We are all volunteers. There's no developer money. There's no city DECI money and all the other things the city provides indirectly. We are on our own. Some of our things may look a little bit handmade. You've probably seen our banners. They definitely look handmade. We don't have yard signs. Can't afford them. We certainly aren't advertising on television. That is incredibly expensive. I don't know where these people find all that money. So it's all volunteer. It's all efforts. And currently we are knocking on doors and passing out materials and talking to the citizens. That's been our key to success to this date, and we're sticking with that strategy.
Bob Von Hayden, what brings you to this group, and what are your major concerns with this project?
Well, my major concerns for this gets primarily into the area of financial concerns. I take a look at the project itself and I say, what really are we talking about? You know, and a good example of this is, why would the city contribute $5.9 million, or over 20% of a private housing unit where they don't do that for any other group in the city? And I just don't understand why we'd even consider that. The other thing, as David mentioned, is we need an additional $200,000 in room tax money. Now, this is a wonderful thing, and hopefully we can generate that. But the problem with that is, to generate an additional $200,000 in room tax money, we would need an additional 71,000 new room stays in Eau Claire, which is over 20% of what we currently have. Now, obviously, because we have an established arts group already, we're not going to see that type of increase. So I'm not sure how they're projecting the numbers. As Dave said, theaters lose money and they want the city to be a backstop. Well, we don't even know to what extent that backstop would be and how much it would be. And these are the questions we need to have answered before we go forward with the project and to see how much they're willing to commit. And then, of course, there's a thing that originally started out on this that got us pretty much involved is, they said there would be no property tax increase. It's in a TIF district, and therefore, well, TIFs aren't free, and there will be a property tax increase. Now, they admit already on an impact on a $150,000 house in Eau Claire, it would be about $17 and $11 for a home in the county. But as Becky Nolan said, this is only a portion of the taxes that would be out there because we haven't approved the other projects, so we haven't defined what the costs would be associated with those. And as we've always talked about this, is it's not just related to the Confluence project, but it's all of the related items in the TIF 8 district that would result in this. So if all of the development is completed in TIF 8 and the necessary development that's in the Confluence area, as Dave previously stated, the tax increase in the city of Eau Claire would be approximately $38. And this is contingent on how much development is put into the thing. The county portion is relatively easy to compute because the $9 related, if the county would borrow $3.5 million in debt, the tax related to that is roughly $9. And then the remaining portion would relate to the amount of investment in new taxable construction. So this is what we're talking about. We just want to make sure that the taxpayers and the citizens are fully informed is what the potential is out there for costs associated with this.
Do you mind if I bring up one more financial thing, too? I think it's important for your listeners to know, because this has not really been articulated much at all, that our taxes in the city for our Eau Claire County are around $2,600, and for a median value $150,000 home. This is the bottom line. It puts us in the top 8% nationwide for rate of property taxation. We're already some of the most highly taxed individuals in our country, and our city debt has doubled since 2001. I know people get tired of numbers, but those are two really important things. Our debt is really high. Post-confluence, it should be around $2,300 for every man, woman, and child, and we're already paying the top 8%. So when these people say it's just a few lattes or it's just a little bit of that or this, it's pounding on top of it. It hurts renters, and it hurts the elderly.
This is one of the major concerns I have as our senior citizens. In the city of Eau Claire, we're very fortunate to have a lot of people with good incomes, but we also have a lot of people with low income, and we have a high population of our senior citizens. And those are the ones that are going to be hit the hardest by these property tax increases.
I'm curious. It's been in the paper a lot. The pro-confluence groups will kind of criticize some of the numbers because you include things like the parking ramp and then the public plaza, which they claim are separate projects that were already kind of taken care of. Why include that in this whole number?
Well, first of all, it's not a different development. As most of the people are well aware, we keep talking about TIF 8. TIF 8 includes the Phoenix Park area, the North Barstow, and the South Barstow. So they're one and the same. In fact, the developers have linked, and this is a direct statement from the developers, that the JAMP project, the housing unit, new hotel remodeling, all of those are linked to the confluence project. So now for them to come back and say that the parking ramp, when we put it in the TIF 8 district as a potential that may happen someday in the future, it's not an approved project yet, but if it goes forward, the discussion was that it would be available for the theater if the confluence project went forward, or even if the confluence project doesn't go forward, it would be available for the current state theater for the needs of that. So, yes, it is in TIF 8, and it is, you can say it's slightly different, but it definitely is related to the project. And what we're talking about is the TIF 8 cost increase for property taxes. And so all of these projects are included, and this is what the seniors would have to pay for. So why would you not let the public know what they're going to be having to contribute? It isn't just for the confluence alone. It's the whole project for the downtown Eau Claire project.
If you actually want to see the documentation, it is on the City Council website under budgets, TIF number 8. And if you read it, you will find first the timing is a year after the confluence project was announced, mm-hmm. That the reference to the parking ramp refers to for the downtown and commercial areas. There's no specific reference to RCU or JAMF, which is what the pro-confluence people are saying. It's pretty clear to me that it applies to the entire project and specifically to this theater project.
With the plaza is very interesting. We got an open space. If the project would go forward, we have a building here and a building here, and we've got a parking lot. Now, if they're saying that the cost to improve that area is not part of the project, then why would we do it? They've asked for it to be done. And then for them to say it shouldn't be part of the project, rather confusing.
And in fact, if there is no confluence theater, I presume there's no need to build that ramp.
This is why we need a referendum in August, which is what we would propose occurs. That's when we'll have elections again already. And all these things will be more vetted. Mary Jo, you attended their pro-confluence senior center meeting last week, I think, didn't you? And they mentioned it was June first, that there may be some plan. Well, we're running out now with no plan, right?
Well, actually, there will be no plan regardless in terms of the theater and the student housing, and the statement was made, those things cost money to develop sketches, architectural drawings. So until the state actually indicates it will provide $25 million, there will be nothing, and there is nothing. There are no plans. If you ask a question, you can't even get square footage information. It's just, this is what we're going to do. The developers will determine what's best. In terms of an operating plan for the theater, that is required. The current Venue Works report is not legal in under Wisconsin law because it assumes condominium ownership, joint ownership of the theaters. That's not allowable. You must designate specific areas. So that which Venue Works came up with is out the window. And there is a task force that is trying to come up with a operational plan. That plan will not be available until June 1, and that's because that's the deadline to provide it to the regions. So we really have no idea what the operating costs are. I know we continually talk about $200,000 in room rentals being adequate. We don't know what's going to be required. That's part of the Venue Works report, and as I said, that report is no longer valid.
Does your group think that there's been a concerted effort to try to keep some of this out of the public spotlight in order to rush the project through?
Well, my opinion on this has always been, because I've been related to this for a number of years now of information that's come forward, I think what they tried to do was to get the project going forward on the basis that it's going to be good for downtown Eau Claire, in their opinion, and that it'll be another jump start for the city. And therefore, no matter what the costs are, the benefits would far outweigh it. And I think this is what we're trying to say is, whoa, slow down here. Let's look at what the costs are and then let the citizens make a decision if they feel that the costs associated with this project far make up enough for the benefits they'll get from it. And this is where it's fair. I don't think they were trying to deliberately not inform the public, but they were just pushing forward so fast that they didn't look at all of the details and didn't think about, well, what are the concerns of our seniors and the other people in the community?
I don't think the media has asked enough questions. You know, our local paper, you know, the editorial board has been very strong in promoting it. And, you know, why haven't they been challenging more about this tax question? Why is it driven from our group? These are very valid questions. I mean, when you're going to ask for this kind of monetary local property tax dollar funds, it's reasonable that people get answers to their questions. If this was a private donor, maybe even a private donor working with the Board of Regents, well, then who are we to challenge it just as a local person? But when they're coming here with their hand out wanting so much assistance, outright gifts, you know, in the form of what these taxpayer bonds funds are, then I think it's very reasonable.
It's very sad, I might add, as well. We had a viable plan for Barstow Street, and everything was put on halt because of this Confluence project. So as a result, the Acoustic Cafe was going to move into the Klein Building, which is one of the most gorgeous buildings you could imagine, and it would have been wonderful. The old NSP or Excel building was supposed to be refurbished into condominiums on the above floors, probably another restaurant on the lower floor. The Scandinavian Import Shop has been there for 43 years, and that place really does get traffic. People come from all over the country to visit, and it's unique. And then finally, there was a beautiful little restaurant next door, which was available for rent. So that block could have really cooked with some very nifty items, and it would have preserved our heritage because those are some of the most historical buildings in the city.
Now, Voters with Facts, is the group officially opposed to the project or just trying to get information to the voters to make their minds up?
Our official position is that we want the voters to decide this project. Some of us have differing opinions, you know, on whether we strongly oppose it or we agree with it if, but that's our official position. Wouldn't you all agree?
Yes, yes. Vote your heart on the county, but vote yes for the city to give yourself an opportunity to vet this project.
We want to make sure the taxpayers and the citizens of Eau Claire are fully informed of what the pros and cons are for the project. They can then make the decision because I fully believe that the taxpayers and citizens of Eau Claire are intelligent enough to make the appropriate decision, even though some of our people on the city council don't think they have that ability.
Now, with the referendum questions, the county question is pretty straightforward.
Yes.
But some people might be confused by the city question. Explain that, if you would.
You know, you're right. The county is a very simple one. Do we want to give $3.5 million or not? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
On the city one, unfortunately, because of the way charter ordinances work and the way our city council put forth some of their resolutions, the only way that it could be is we had to create what they call a charter ordinance. And to do a charter ordinance, you can't talk about the project specifically. You had to talk about a general concept. And so the concept that we came up with is if any project that would exceed $1 million in scope related to the arts, etc., would need to go to referendum. The key thing that was in there, it said that when it goes to referendum, you would have to submit the appropriate data, the costs, the size, the shape, all of the definitions of the project so that the voters would be properly informed. And this is what we wanted to do. So unfortunately, we have to go through the process of having a vote on a referendum to have a future referendum on the project. But it is relatively simple. They will say that this is a very costly thing because it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. No, they don't have to do that because they can put it on a future election at the same time, and therefore there's no additional cost for it other than the printing of the information on the ballot. But it will then give the voters the opportunity to express their opinion. So it's important to remember that on April 1st, you're voting on a referendum to vote on the future referendum.
It gives you a say on projects that are $1 million or higher.
Well, with regards to that, I'm wondering, there have been some calls from people saying that this question, it's singling out the arts, that the city bonds for things all the time worth more than $1 million. But it seems there's extra attention being paid to funding a building that would be specifically for the arts.
Actually, there are very few over $1 million projects. If you look at the capital, the city's capital funding for the future, there are very, very few. So I know there's some concerns we'd be tying the city's hands. We would not be tying the hands. As far as the language used, as Bob indicated, based on the way the pledge was written, we could not be specific because if we were specific, it would not be deemed legal legislation. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to tie this referendum so that everyone knew that it applied to the confluence. So as such, we did include information about the arts and made it general enough so that we would pass muster in terms of direct legislation, but specific enough so people would know, yes, this pertains to this confluence project.
Representatives from the group Voters with Facts on their position as it concerns the Confluence Project. Thanks, Rich Kramer, for moderating. Next, we'll hear from Voices for Growth.
Support for WPR comes from the Eau Claire Jazz Festival, featuring trumpeter and Louis Armstrong impersonator Byron Stripling and trombonist Wycliffe Gordon, April 4th and 5th. Festival details and venues are available at eauclairejazz.com. Support also comes from the Water Street Deli in Eau Claire, offering fresh hummus, baba ganoush, and pita chips, available at the deli, the downtown farmers market, and just local food, on Facebook and at waterstreetdeliandgrocery.com.
This is Spectrum West. Thanks for being with us today. This special edition of Spectrum West now continues as we hear from the challengers and supporters of the downtown Eau Claire development project known as the Confluence. The group known as Voices for Growth are devotees of the concept. James Hankey, an economic development specialist, Kathy Mitchell, Eau Claire City Councilperson, met with me in the studio just the other day. Is there such a thing as clarity on this issue?
Well, I think there certainly is. And again, thanks for having us on today. The clarity really revolves around what it is that's happening on the site. You have a very clear site plan that includes a collaborative performing arts center. It includes a mixed-use building that will generate about $19.3 million in additional property tax base within a tax increment finance district that will effectively finance and support the $5 million investment the city is making in the Performing Arts Center. In terms of the county referendum, it's been very clear and clear from the onset that when the county board voted, and I believe that vote was 21-5 in favor of an investment in the Confluence Project, that would have a tax impact. And that impact for an individual or a family owning a $150,000 home would be just a little less than $9 annually. So, you know, we do, I think, have a very good understanding of what the facts are here. I think that, you know, some of the difference that we've seen perhaps has really revolved around how those facts are interpreted and the kind of economic impacts this type of a project has an opportunity to have in terms of being a catalyst for economic growth in the downtown area.
The, you know, the whole concept, is there a problem with apples and oranges going on here? Do we, are people maybe becoming confused because someone is showing them an apple and someone showing them an orange?
Unfortunately, I do think that's the case. And there was a pretty stern editorial in the Leader Telegram, you know, last week revolving around that very issue. You know, I think there have been a lot of assumptions made in terms of how this could potentially impact a city property taxpayer using a lot of variables that aren't related to the project, and using a lot of information that leaps to assumptions about, you know, what our city council will look at doing as our budgets move forward in the future. You know, our preference, and, you know, although we're called Voices for Growth, you know, our preference is to focus on the facts that are currently at hand, and I've outlined those for you previously.
Is this viewed as you're involved in economic redevelopment and civic redevelopment? Is this viewed as a vital link to the chain of downtown redevelopment for Eau Claire?
I think a very critical link as it relates to redevelopment in the downtown area. You know, a project of this nature, not dissimilar to what we saw with Phoenix Park, for instance. You had a public-private partnership. You had the public making an investment in, you know, phenomenal park space that's incredibly well used. You had the private sector and RCU making a significant investment in an area that had previous to that been blighted. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, basically, when I went to school here back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I lived right across the river from that area, and it was a field. Mm-hmm. I used to spend a lot of time over there. I'd throw balls to my dog in the field of weeds. And today, you know, it's a phenomenal place. It's a great location within the community. And that kind of catalytic project then led to the additional redevelopment that you've seen in that area. Now today you're seeing the JAMP facility. You're seeing additional residential components. And very similar to that, I think the Confluence Project with its public private partnership can position the South Barstow area or the southern part of our downtown to really achieve that kind of redevelopment and growth that we should be aspiring for here in the community.
A little bit more about that. I'm sorry, Kathy, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that all of the planning that's been going on for downtown seem to converge right at the right time as this project was being conceived. The Clear Vision process was being finished, and we saw in that process that the community wanted a fine arts center. The community met at RCU. Al, I think you moderated that discussion. The museum had done the culture plan, the good life plan for the county, and that was for the whole county. That wasn't just the city of Eau Claire, mm-hmm. we might all remember, where people also talked about the importance of a fine arts facility. And the waterways plan at that time, too, where that said we're not making a good use of our waterways, which people value, they want to see, they want to touch, and we've turned our backs to the waterways. And then the properties on Graham and Eau Claire Street became available to purchase. And that was kind of the linchpin of the whole project. Mm-hmm. And so Dan Klumpner and his associates were able to purchase those buildings, and that got us started on this project.
Yeah, I mean, initially it was what many people were saying was something was coming that was overdue for the city of Eau Claire.
Right. Right.
And I think that's where the whole Clearwater thing.
And all those plans, every time we looked at them, mm-hmm. People would say, yes, but we'll need private investment. We'll need the private sector to come forward. And here now, the private sector has come forward in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more, James, about that public-private sector partnership, because to some it's very exciting because it feels entrepreneurial in relation to what other communities have done, and it's something that Eau Claire hasn't done with the university too often or maybe successfully. Talk about that.
In terms of the public-private partnership piece of this, it's not all that incredibly unique. Communities have worked very closely with private developers and utilized tax increment financing to make strategic investments in revitalizing downtown. Happens all over the state of Wisconsin. I think what really does make this project quite a bit more unique than others is the kind of the third stool or the third leg of the stool, I should say, with the university being engaged and involved. And, you know, I think that university engagement does a number of things that we're not able to do on our own. Number one, we wouldn't be looking at a performing arts facility of this size were it not for the university's involvement, the guaranteed revenue that comes as a result of their engagement, and the upfront capital investment the university brings to the table through the state. Mm-hmm. Without that, we really wouldn't have a project. So that public-private partnership combined with the university element, I think, really makes this a once-in-a-generation kind of thing. And, you know, you talk to some of our city fathers, folks that have been around the community for quite some time, and they'll talk to you about, you know, the university wanting to be more engaged with the community in the past and, you know, having an interest in doing these types of collaborative projects because they make sense. Mm-hmm. And functionally because they reduce costs for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened before. I think we have a phenomenal opportunity to make it happen today.
Is there a specific aspect of the challenge that surprises you the most?
Yes. There is for me. The partnerships are incredibly important, as James has said. The state of Wisconsin, the UW system, the university, the foundation, the city, the county, the community arts groups, the philanthropists. But because it's such an important partnership, it is also makes it very difficult. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the university is the anchor partner in all of this means that we are subject to the state of Wisconsin capital building process.
Yeah.
And it's a two-year process. It's a biennial process. And we missed the 13-15 biennium. And now we have to go into the 15-17 biennium. So as a result, it's taken a long time. There's been a time of just waiting mm-hmm. for the next process to start. And so people have gotten a little bit anxious and asked questions about the details that we can't answer yet because we need approval from the state first before we can do a design, or mm-hmm. not we, but the developers can do a design for the project. That, to me, has been the most difficult part.
So to the people who are, in favor of this and have worked hard on it, it must seem as if the stars are somewhat aligned for this project.
Very much so. And I think if opposition and I'm certainly will find out April 1st, but, you know, I'm certainly inclined to believe that opposition is fairly narrow. But if that opposition has done anything, it's really helped the project in terms of fine-tuning and sharpening the relationships amongst the various partners and parties involved. Mm-hmm. We've had to develop a strong coalition and a lot of folks from the Chamber of Commerce to folks at the university, students, other members of the community, other organizations, builders, trades, et cetera, you know, have really had to spend a lot of extra time analyzing this project and coming to a conclusion about their level of support. And then we've seen that commitment go forward. That's been pretty positive. Mm-hmm. And then I think behind the scenes and an oft-forgotten component of this is that, you know, the city council did create a confluence task force back in the fall. And that task force has been quietly and very deliberatively going through a process of effectively creating the Confluence Council, or the organizational body for, you know, the Confluence mm-hmm. Center. You know, so that has been, I think, a real positive experience and something that has provided, you know, a number of answers to many of the questions that people have had about the project. Mm-hmm. And I know, Kathy, you've been involved in that.
James and I are both on the task force. And I have to say that while people have been making almost an occupation out of asking questions, but not really trying to find the answers, in my opinion, our group has been working very diligently all fall, and we are just about to appoint the Confluence Council. And that council is going to determine the policies for things like scheduling and ticketing and rates and all of the issues that the arts groups have been concerned about. The council is going to be made up of 9 people, the chancellor or a designee, the city manager or a designee, the director of ECRAC, a person from Visit Eau Claire, probably the chairman of the music department at the university, a person from the Haymarket group, and 2 members of the community at large. And then, and this is one of the exciting parts to me, this council is going to have at least 1 standing committee, and that committee is going to be made up of representatives from all the arts groups. So they're going to have not only a seat on this council, but they're going to have a standing committee that's going to make recommendations to the council. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have quite a lot of representation, and that's what they were eager to have when we met with them in the fall.
Yeah, that has been a concern that's been voiced a lot, is how do you share something so wonderful? Should you be concerned about how you're going to share it, I suppose?
As a board member for a number of not-for-profit organizations and a few that are involved in the arts, it is a really important decision. You know, to be able to, as a not-for-profit, be prepared with your scheduling, understand how rates are going to impact your financials and your bottom line. Those are all very important issues. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really exciting about pulling together the Confluence Council is that we'll be in a position where we can, you know, not only answer those questions effectively, but those who are impacted by those decisions are going to have a seat at the table and be able to be a part of, you know, going through that decision-making process. And I think that's really important. And I've been very appreciative of a number of the arts organizations that have been very supportive of the project, have also had some questions that they want to make sure are answered, and have been willing to be a part of that decision-making process, and they'll continue to be through the Confluence Council.
Kathy, a little more on the role of the city and you as representatives in this process.
You know, the city participates and supports development projects all the time. And it's nothing new for us to, for example, pledge, like we did here, some money toward the infrastructure in a project. That's what we do. That's what the city should do, provide the basis for economic development. And that's one of the concerns I have about the city referendum that's going to be on the ballot. It takes decisions about that kind of participation in capital projects away from the council and puts it into a referendum or into the hands of the voters. I think this will be a major detriment to economic development in our community if that referendum passes, and particularly for the arts and for performing arts and music. They're being singled out here, but I think that it could also have an effect on all kinds of other venues in the community. Negative effect.
Again, you know, the contention is that the bottom line is going to be affected, people's bottom line, whether it's the communal banks, personal banks, checkbooks, whatever. Is there, James, really such an onslaught of irresponsibility and debt and tax hikes that should keep us from doing this thing?
No.
Somehow I knew you'd say that, but
So bottom line.
You're a bottom line guy. You deal with it all the time.
And do. And, you know, so bottom line, if you own a $150,000 home, you're looking at about a $9 impact on an annual basis over a finite 10-year period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at that, and then I look at that in the context of a number of other investments that the county makes, things like UW Extension. This would be similar to the investment in UW Extension. Now, I personally don't use UW Extension, but I'm grateful it's here. And I know a lot of folks, you know, particularly in the rural parts of Eau Claire County, that derive a significant amount of benefit from an ag extension agent, from, you know, the work that they're doing to help facilitate economic growth here in the area. So what I like to do is compare it to other investments, other options. You know, for someone who owns a $150,000 home, just on the county side, your investment in the library system is about $12. So, you know, we get great benefits as a result of having that type of a facility. And that's not a finite investment. That's an infinite investment going forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, I look at it and weigh this investment in relation to other things that we do at the county, and I think it's pretty reasonable.
I'm guessing both of you are still very optimistic about our ability to work together as a community, as a city, as a county. You are.
Absolutely.
I can see that in your face.
Yes.
What I'll say is this. You know, I think that what has happened in local governments over the course of probably the last 12 to 15 years has been a tightening of the local belt. We've seen significant reductions coming from the state in terms of shared revenue. We've seen levy limits and caps that have really required local units of government, counties, townships, cities, to really start thinking outside of the box and really start thinking about things a little bit differently. And one of the things that I like about that is it's fostered an environment conducive to collaboration. And that collaborative initiative has driven cost reductions in a variety of different departments at the city, at the county, collaborations there. And now we see an opportunity with collaboration amongst not just the city and the county, but the university. These things make sense, and they end up reducing costs.
Mm-hmm. And this is why economic development is so important. Going back to what James was saying earlier, we have got to build the tax base. We can't raise taxes much at all because of the levy limits. So we've got to build the base, and infill development, which is what this is one of the best ways to do that. So more entities paying taxes means that the rest of us don't have to pay higher taxes. And that's very important. I think that's being lost in this whole discussion. Economic development is a good thing.
Yeah. Discussion's a good thing.
Right.
And I think that's what's going on, and I have to wrap it up, but what's been going on is good for us all, the fact that we have talked about it. Everyone taking the time to deliberate the possibilities. I think we owe you guys a debt of gratitude because you are personifying public service. You really are, and you're getting involved, and thank you for that. Any final comment?
County yes, city no.
And be sure you vote on April 1st.
The Voices for Growth website is www.voicesforgrowth.org.
Support for WPR comes from Marshfield Clinic. 34 clinic locations are patient-centered medical homes that focus on coordinated care and long-term relationships. More at marshfieldclinic.org/PCMH. Support also comes from Xcel Energy, actively involved in the communities they serve through support of nonprofit organizations, philanthropy, and volunteer work. Because there's more than one way to bring energy to a community. More at xcelenergy.com.
Well, Rich Kramer has joined me in the studio. Rich, thanks for being part of Spectrum West this week.
A pleasure, Al.
Appreciate it. As a news guy, you've covered contentious issues before, frac sand mining, maybe not all here, the gubernatorial recall, others. After a rather uneventful initiation, this issue has gathered momentum in the controversy category. Some of what's being asked of the voter can possibly be misinterpreted if you don't read the ballot well. So let's actually clarify exactly what voters are being asked to decide. First, on the county referendum, let's talk a bit about its background.
Well, the Eau Claire County Board voted to pledge $3.5 million in late January.
Mm-hmm.
They voted 21-5 to pledge the money, but there was a condition. There was an amendment that was made to the resolution that would require the funding to be approved by a referendum question on the April 1st ballot, which voters will see next Tuesday.
That call for a referendum came at the same time as they voted 21-5?
The group that was pushing for the referendum and collecting signatures was kind of doing their work at the same time, so the county board just kind of got ahead of the game.
And let's switch now to the city of Eau Claire. The referendum there is actually asking, kind of a twisted question, they're asking for permission to actually ask more questions about limited involvement by city government. That's basically it?
That's right. Yeah, the official actual language is, shall a charter ordinance be enacted that would require a binding referendum before $1 million or more in city funds can be expended on any building construction that is planned for dramatic, musical, or artistic performances?
So if a person votes yes, it will mean that there will be a referendum every time the city wants to spend money,
yes,
a million or more on something artistic, a building.
So this is really a referendum to have a referendum.
Okay. And if you vote no, it means?
Basically means let the city do its thing, let things stay the way they are, let the city council decide on projects like this.
Didn't the city council vote previously to authorize the five?
Well, in October, the city council voted 8-3 to approve the $5 million pledge for the community arts center portion of the Confluence project.
Mm.
But again, there were conditions. The state must kick in $25 million for the arts center, which is part of the plan, I believe. The project must also get about $20 million in funding from donations and businesses. And during a meeting of the city council, there was talk of passing an amendment to the city resolution that would require a referendum, but the city council voted that down.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had the group that was called the Confluence Referendum Committee. They collected the signatures and basically forced the referendum on the ballot for April 1st. So long as you get enough signatures in the right amount of time, you can put any question on the ballot.
From your experience, let's use your newsworthy intuition. What do you think the Confluence issue is going to do to turnout? Do you think it's going to spike it?
I think so. Within the city, we'll probably see higher turnout because there's been a lot of get-out-the-vote efforts. There's been a lot of rallies, a lot of media attention. Out in the county, I'm not really sure. You know, some people that are on the farther edges, they might not care as much as someone that's got a actual physical proximity to it.
Interestingly enough, you know, along the way, there have been accusations of, as you might expect, underhandedness and less than cordial communication between sides. It's vitriolic in a way.
Yeah, it's
been... It wasn't that way at the beginning, so it's kind of snowballed, and that's what happens when people disagree, I guess.
When we had the town forums, the Clear Vision town forums, and the discussion just started taking shape, there wasn't any vitriol, it seemed, at the time. Everyone was just putting out ideas, but as with anything, once money gets involved, once you start seeing figures, once you start talking about maybe changes to your tax bills, that's when vitriol comes in. So I was kind of surprised at first to see how it's developed and turned into this political machine on both sides.
Yeah. You're also a statewide reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. There is a statewide spotlight on this.
I've done some reporting on this, yeah. Theaters like this and performing arts centers and initiatives like this happen all over the place, so it is something that catches people's attention, but I'm not sure how much people in Madison or Milwaukee are actually focusing on this, but I have done reporting for the network.
Certain aspects of this partnership that's being suggested between the university and the city and private enterprise is somewhat, I think I used the word entrepreneurial the other day, and I think there are other people watching this and waiting to see how it turns out to see if those partnerships feel viable in communities like Eau Claire, and Eau Claire is a typical Wisconsin city.
As it's been pitched, it's a unique idea, a funding concept to have the state, the university system, and private businesses and city, county. So, yeah, if it does work, it might have implications for other areas.
With us in the studio is Rich Kramer. He is a WPR news guy, plus the host of the West Side, the award-winning West Side, which is on 10 a.m. on Mondays. And Rich's program often deals with two sides in a different way than Spectrum West does. You have what is undoubtedly the last word on the topic coming up on this coming Monday's program, Rich. At least last word media-wise. Monday, March 31st, day before the election, you're going to have...
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have both sides of the discussion. It's going to be a one-hour live forum. Starts at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time. We'll have Mary Jo Cohen. She's the CEO of Presto. And Bob Von Hayden, he's a Eau Claire City Council member. But they stress that they're here as private citizens, so they'll be represented. They're the group that has been pushing for the referendum. In support of the project, we'll have two people. We'll have Eau Claire Regional Arts Council Executive Director Ben Richgruber and Eau Claire City Council member Eric Larson, who's been very outspoken in support of the Confluence project. It'll be two-on-two. It'll be interesting, and we're going to hopefully have the phone lines jam-packed.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what this is all about, letting the people ask questions directly to both sides.
Has a lot of thought gone into the format of this special program? Meaning, is it going to have kind of a debate feel, or is it going to be a free-for-all tag match?
It's going to be a discussion, as okay. always. It's not going to be timed. It's just going to be a discussion. I'll moderate, I'll ask some questions, but the majority of it, I hope, will be questions from the audience. Yeah. People calling in, and we'll let them kind of steer the conversation.
Rich Kramer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Al.
Stop in anytime.
Okay. I'm right down the hall.
Again, be sure to vote on Tuesday. Being informed is what voting is all about. And we, of course, are doing our part here at WPR and have been for quite a while on this particular issue. The website, WPR.org/confluence, again, WPR.org/confluence, has scripts and audio from a lot of the ways that we've covered this issue from the beginning. So visit it. Don't forget, Saturday evening, 7:30 p.m., First Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra with the Master Singers. That's going to be very, very cool. Next week on Spectrum West, the big Eau Claire Jazz Festival tunes up. We'll have all the details. You'll meet the fabulous female trio Red Molly. And lots more, always more, on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Thanks, and see you again.